Thank you all so much. If you have your Bibles, take and open them up to the book of Jeremiah. The book of Jeremiah. This morning we will actually have two scriptures we want to read at the outset. That first one is in Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Take and put your marker or your finger there. And then also turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Jeremiah 17 and 1 Peter chapter 2. Earlier in the service, again, as always, God orchestrates how He wants things to go, and I'm appreciative of that. His wisdom is obviously much better than mine. But Stephen made a comment on one of the songs that I know he meant. He just didn't know it was going to be a part of the message. But he said, you know, if I remember your quote right, he said, I knew that there was a God. I knew that He was there, and I knew that I had received Him. He said, what I failed to really accept was the fact that God loved just me. Did I get that right? Pretty close? Didn't change the meaning. Okay. You know, sometimes that is very true for a lot of folks who have accepted the Lord. We talk about a head knowledge versus a heart knowledge. And I want to bring this in a couple of ways, but Cherie mentioned the loss of her sister, some of the others that y'all have had in the past or maybe in the present, and others who we know. We feel like, again, we can't crawl inside of somebody, but by what we see, by their testimony, how they live and all, we know they know the Lord, but yet at some point they become so depressed they've taken their own life. And there's always that question with folks, is will they be forgiven? And the answer to that is yes, they will. Paul tells us that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from the love of God. But more importantly, to help on that part of the grieving and understanding, but more importantly, this message is to each one of us who are living. And we're going to face trials and troubles. But yet, we have to be able to remember, as that was where I keyed on what Stephen said, God is there. He loves you and I individually. He cares for us if we will open up and allow Him to give us His tender mercies. All right? So, the title of the message is Chosen by God. And each one of you is chosen by God. He chooses to bring you the invitation to know Him personally. He chooses. And He also tarries with those of us who are hard-headed and waited a while. Okay? And for those of you that haven't met Him yet, He's still tarrying with you, and He's patient. Not something most of us have, but He does have great patience. So Jeremiah chapter 17, I invite you to stand to honor the reading of God's Word. We will catch one verse here, and then we're going to turn to 1 Peter. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9. Jeremiah 17, 9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doing. God tells us up front he's interested in the heart. Now go to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 7. Peter writes under the leading of the Holy Spirit. He says, "Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word to which they were appointed. But you who are chosen, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." You may be seated. So Jeremiah quotes, led by the word of God, that people, that he says that we are a wicked people. The heart is wicked. And who can know it? We see the atrocities of man that take place because of that wicked heart. Paul reminds us in Romans that all have sinned. In chapter 3 and verse 23, he said all have sinned. We're not exempt, not a single one of us, because of the sin that took place in the very beginning there in the Garden of Eden. The seed of man has that sin implanted. And obviously from the time that we are born, that very moment we begin to die. Why? Again, Paul gives us that in Romans 6:23, because he says the wages of sin are death. And so that very moment that we are born, because we are all born of the man, the seed of man, sin is in us. We have that rebellious nature, and nothing will rectify that for us to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father who created each and every one of us. You know, sometimes we get aggravated at other people, and I have to, you know, I find myself reminding myself when I get that aggravation, God created them just like he created me. So maybe I ought to have a little bit more patience with them, right? Because they need a little more patience with me. And for each one of us, that is true. And it is by his Son, because he desired that relationship with us, that we have obtained mercy that we just read about. We were a people without mercy. But it cost God's Son his life in order to share us that mercy and that reconciliation, that we became a people of God. Notice also what it says, that you are chosen. Each one of us were chosen by God. He tarried with us. He brought someone in our life that presented to you and I the gospel, the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the knowledge that we could be transformed from who we are, from that wicked heart. And your last song especially talked of that, or not the last, the next to last song. How that we may see each other the same, that nothing has happened, but if we can see inside, when Christ comes, there's a whole new person in there, a whole new heart, a whole new set of eyes and ears to listen. And the Holy Spirit, we know that as God is as the Father and the Son and the Spirit, his Spirit now resides in our heart, that Holy of Holies, that temple where God resides. And he's there to guide and direct us. So let me put an analogy to this. Some of you probably have been to an animal shelter before, okay, where the city or the county, whoever it is, they pick up stray dogs. If you've ever been to one of those, sometimes you will go and there will be a cage there that's quarantined, and this dog is inside, and it says, has heartworms. Now, if any of you have ever had a dog that you had to battle through heartworms, it is an expensive ordeal. In order to get rid of those heartworms, and you're not always assured that it will be successful. But at least they tell you that up front, and they quarantine that dog. And you see that dog there all by himself, and you're there to select you a new mate, a new helpmate, to be part of your family. And most people, when they see that one that says he has heartworms, they're like, uh-uh, I don't want that one. I want one that's already healthy. That dog is kind of in the, as the Bible would say, the leper, has the leprosy. And so we'll bypass that dog. And if you've ever seen one of those dogs to me have probably the saddest eyes of all that say, take me home. I do not take my wife to any of those shelters, I promise you. Okay? Let's be up front, and if you have puppies, keep them. Don't show her that. She's an Ellie Mae Jr. And there are several of you Ellie Mays in this church. Okay? I've heard that many a time. Oh, honey, look. Nope. Don't want to see nothing. Straight ahead, blinders on. Keep moving fast. We rolled by the other day. Had a couple of people in the truck with us, and they go, ooh, bloodhound puppies. Hit the gas, keep moving, okay? You don't need a bloodhound. But that dog inside that has this sign that hangs on him. And if you understand heartworms, you know that's a death sentence. You see, each one of us had that same sign hanging around us. Because heartworms, by its name, is just exactly what that worm attacks, the heart. And it will kill that dog or that cat. Because those worms get in there and it eats that heart up till it no longer does what a heart was supposed to be able to function, pumping blood. And you see, each one of us has that same heartworm, only we call it sin. It eats away at our heart. Scripture tells us, it says, towards the end of time, that as we progress towards that time when Christ will return, is the hearts of man turn cold. And we see that every day more and more. When we see in the news that someone can just come up for no reason whatsoever and bash somebody's head and kill them, how can you say the heart doesn't turn cold? That life is so insignificant. It means nothing. And you see, without choosing that dog and taking it to the vet, where it can get treated for its heart condition to get rid of those heartworms, that dog is destined to die. And yeah, sometimes that's a gamble. I've already told you it's expensive. Well, let's see, the other things that will run through your mind is, if I have any other animals, will it get them contagious? If I have other animals, will it get along with them? Is that dog house broke? Or is that dog just going to be outside? And well, with his condition, the vet will tell you it can't be outside right now because you kind of got to protect it and do all these things to try to heal it. Is it really worth the trouble? I'm going to flip that over. And you who are walking through that shelter looking for a dog, for someone who to have a relationship with, it's the Father walking through. And He sees you, and He sees me. So, man, I got this heartworm real bad. They aren't house broke. I don't know they'll get along with everybody else. And is he really worth the trouble? Is she really worth my time and effort? You want a definition of mercy? The Father says, yes, it's worth even my son's life. That's how special you and I are. And just as if you were to choose that dog, God has chosen each one of us. God tells us also in 1 Peter that He did not create hell for anything and anyone except Satan himself and those who follow the demons and so forth, the people who follow Satan's lies. That is who it was created for. It was never created for me and you or any other people. God saw not what you are, but what you could be. I know several people who have taken that risk and chosen that dog that was in the shelter with a heartworm condition. And they'll say, you know, it was the greatest thing. It was a struggle. It was hard. But that dog is the most affectionate. That dog remembers the fact that I pulled and snatched him from the jaws of death and gave him a home. Wow, that kind of sounds familiar about what the Father does with us, isn't it? He snatched us from the jaws of death by the price He paid with His Son. Wasn't a vet bill. It's a heart bill. It took blood and death and resurrection to pay for mine and your heart. And then He had to begin to train us of how we ought to be, how we ought to act. House broke. You see, that's what He saw. Because He knew that we would be worth the price. He knew of what was actually underlying in there was created because of that heartworm, that sin, that if He got that and cleaned it up and got it out of the way, you and I would actually be the relationship, the potential of what He knew and had created us for from the very beginning. What He foresaw when He created you and me in that soul. And no matter what we go through, God never gives up on us. Our Father is there every single day, every moment of the day. You know, if you choose that dog, if you allow him, he may, and he wants to, some of them fight about having to go to the vet, but if you allow him, if he allows you to take him to that vet, you can have healing for that dog. He can get healing. And see, if we allow God to come into our heart and then further past that, allow him to give us the treatment through the Holy Spirit, the guiding and the direction of creating in us what we ought to be and what He created us for, He can save us and we will thrive. And not only is it for His glory, as Paul tells us in Romans 8, but it is for the glory of God and to blessings for me and you, the happiness we will know. If you got any friends or maybe you yourself ever took a dog that had a really hard life, a rough beginning, and you take it home and it finds its home and it begins to be nurtured, that dog you'll never be able to get rid of. You can send that dog away and I promise you it'll come back. Been there and done that. Old stray dog, Great Pyrenees, decided we need to give it away. Dog chewed through a metal cable and showed right back up on the doorstep. That dog was her dog to the day he passed. Literally chewed through a metal cable to get loose and come back home. Told her, I said, it's your dog. He ain't getting rid of him. And you see, that's how the Father is. anytime we come back, we're His. He chose us. Now look at what it says there again, what we read in Peter, he says, but you, in verse 9, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, His own special people. Never come short of the understanding of the value our Father places on each one of us. Said it before, I'll say it again because it's true. If nobody else in this world had sin in their life but you, God would still have sent His Son to that cross just for you. Because that's what He did. That's how much He cares and loves for you and I. He desires, He chose you. He looked at them big old sad brown eyes like that big puppy dog in your face, and He said, that is my child. And He says, I chose you to be a royal priest, to be holy, to be my special person. You see, you can't have a nation without individual people. And that's what He chose. That you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of the darkness into His marvelous light. The healing of getting rid of that sin. Oh, it's a lifelong process, don't get me wrong. But what a blessing, what a healing that it is. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, in verse 12. Paul here writes of the sonship through the Spirit, and that is open to each one of us. He says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. How true, Stephen, that song about dying inside, of how there's a new man inside. And yeah, people may see the same old face, the same old person, but I got news for you. Through time, they'll realize that it is not the same old person because He comes through each one of us. The face, the characteristics, everything change. You think about for a moment, somebody you know does not know God personally. You ever just sit back and watch them for a little bit? Their whole demeanor. I'm a people watcher. I'll be the first one to tell you that. Most of y'all know it. But you can visit with them a little bit and you go, yeah. And it's not judging. It's just going by what you see. And some of the statements they'll make, they have to force a smile. They're not happy people. That glass ain't half full. It's dang near empty and sometimes empty. They're grumpy. You know that old saying, give you a brand new rope and you still complain about the hanging? They will complain that it's a brand new rope. And yet you can meet folks by this world standards that don't have a single dime, but they're singing and praising because of what God has done for them. Because see, our riches are not based on monetary value. Our riches are based in the glory that we have life. This past week, I'd ask you to keep those families in prayer. Part of our company, some men that were working, one got killed, two were severely injured. They made a mistake, got into energized line, which is unforgiven. Electricity is just like sin. It doesn't forgive. It will take your life. But by the same token of that taking place, it can happen anytime. No good and well, that day he left, he expected to go back home to his wife and his family. We're not assured of tomorrow in any form or fashion. The other two were listed critical, put on life support. The doctors gave them just barely more than a zero chance. But God's not done with them. They're alive today. Many of us have been in those situations where, by His grace, because of the mistake, it cost them their life. Spiritually, by our mistake of not accepting Jesus Christ, it will cost us all of eternity. But there's a redemptive factor called Jesus Christ. We come to Him and to know Him, and He heals, and He causes us to be reclaimed, to give us that new spirit, that new Father, that healing that takes place, that is a sonship of what we see here. He says the Spirit of Himself. He is the Spirit led by God. These are the sons of God. He continues on in 15. He says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption by Him who we cry out, Abba, Father." Folks, I want to tell you, at your very lowest, if you know Jesus Christ personally, at the very lowest you can have, the Father never leaves you. You and I just have to open up to realize and to accept that He is there. And He will bring us from that depths. He continues on. He says, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." Jesus said it another way in Matthew. He said, "There is nothing that can take you away those who God has given me." He says, nothing can take it away. No person, no creation, no nothing can take it away. Paul will write, "The powers and principalities," he says, "I am convinced that there is nothing, no power, no principality, death, nor life, nor anything above or below," I'm kind of paraphrasing all of that, he goes through it very detailed, "that can ever separate us from the love of God." Nothing. He finally ends here in 17, in 8, 17. He says, 16 says, "The Spirit bears witness of our spirit that we are children of God." 17, "And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." You remember what we read in 1 Peter? We are a priesthood. Our chief priest is Jesus Christ. You and I become those same priests because we are joint heirs with Christ. We read in Revelation of where the select, those who have accepted Jesus Christ, will be. It speaks here of adoption, and we know by our own civil laws, our own world laws that are set up, when someone is adopted, it can never be revoked. That is for life. And great praise be to our Lord, it's not just for life, it's for eternity. We belong to Him. So those of you who have suffered some loss, one, if it was by their own hand and they knew the Lord Jesus Christ, I will tell you, yes, that sin can be forgiven because His Word says nothing can separate us. The second part I would say to those of you who have had loss is that we are assured of being united again with those who have gone on before us. There's no doubt. And if we should live long enough that the physical body gives out for us, or if we are gathered together because our Lord returns, we will all go to our Lord's home, our Father's home. For we are joint heirs with He who redeemed us. Words of comfort for those who are grieving, but also words of comfort, especially for those who are living, that nothing can ever separate us from the love of our Heavenly Father, and how special each one of us are. Not by our doing, not something we walk around with our chest thrown out and say, "Ha, I'm a Christian." No. I'm a Christian by His mercy and His grace. It's by what He has done that I was that poor old pup hanging with a tag around my neck that said heartworm. Sin. And yet God walked through that kennel and said, "I want him. I want her. And I'll take them home. I'll heal them up. And they will be what I intended for them to be." I invite you to bow your head and close your eyes. Father, we come to you thanking you for the promises that you give us. Most of all, thank you, Lord, for choosing to give us the opportunity to know your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, if there's one here today that does not know you, Father, we fervently pray that your Holy Spirit will be upon them and their spirit, to come and ask Him to be their Lord and Savior, to know Him personally. Lord, thank you for your patience and long suffering that you have dealt with so many of us, that you never gave up on any of us. You are the great physician. Sin may have made our hearts wicked, but Lord, you restore it to be glorified, to be holy. Be one of your children. If you're here today and don't know Jesus Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. No greater decision will you ever make. Outwardly, in the world that you live, it may not change. But what will happen inside will change all that you see in your world on the outside. For no longer do you strive by yourself, but you have the power of the one and true living God that will live within you. You never walk the road alone. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. We're going to offer a very simple prayer. You're going to hear folks all over this room say that same prayer, because you see, each one of us that do know Him have been where you are. We want to do that to encourage you. It's a simple process. The Scripture tells us it is with the heart man believes. It is with the mouth he confesses. And Jesus will come into your heart as we pray together. Dear Lord Jesus, I come today confessing I am a sinner. I need a Savior in my life. I believe you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And I ask you today to come into my heart, to forgive me of my sins, to be me my Lord and Savior all of my life and into eternity. It's that simple. Christian, it's that simple for you and I to share with others as well. Let the devil tell you that you can't speak. You have a testimony that's all yours. And he promises he'll give you the right words to say. And for each and every one of us, if we allow him to shine through us every day in our daily lives, he will show that we are a different people. Scripture says a peculiar people. meaning we are set apart from what the world sees every day. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and ask Jesus Christ into your heart for the first time,